Start it again.
But how to, like, you know...
How to get taste for Harinam.
Yeah. Even though we know all glorification of Harinam, even one Nam can deliver us and everything, but still we have no taste. Even we are chanting our rounds, still I'm doing my everything, but still I see that, do I have really taste? I will say no. Mm-hmm. I'm chanting, but it doesn't mean that I have taste.
Yeah. The question the devotee is asking is how to get taste Nam Ruchi. This is a symptom, Rupa Goswami Pad is explaining in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 9 symptoms of bhav. It says, Nam Ruchi Sadagane. Nam Ruchi Sadagane. He says that one of the symptoms of a bhava bhakta, a very advanced devotee, is that he has so much taste for nams that he's always chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. He's always chanting because he has Nam Ruchi, the symptom of bhava bhakta. So the question is, how do we get Ruchi? Well, first get Bhav and Ruchi will come. So much Ruchi will come for Nam. So how do we get Bhav? Shravanam Kirtanam Shraddha Tata Sura Sangha Bhajan Kriya Narta Nivrti. So, like Prabhupada would say, what's the answer? Keep chanting. Keep chanting and the taste will come, because the analogy is right there in Nectar, what do you call it? Upadeshamrita. And Prabhupada's Tika, one of those verses, probably the first verse maybe, Vacha Vegam, Anasakrota Vegam, Jiva Vedam, Mudra Pasta Vegam, where he's saying there, I'm talking about the tongue and whatnot. I think it's there, or maybe not, maybe later.
Tongue is there.
No, I know that verse, but I'm just trying to think of the Tika. But somewhere in one Tika of Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrita, Prabhupada says, maybe it's later on when he's talking about Tan Nama Ruchi Gana, you know, live in the holy Dham and with advanced devotees. He, in that purport, he's saying that if a man has jaundice, liver disease, his liver is diseased and has yellow eyes and yellow skin, his liver is not functioning, then if you give him sweets, no swad, he can't taste, because his taste function has become dysfunctional due to the rogue, or the vyadi, or what do you say, the disease of jaundice, liver dysfunction. So, but the medicine is sugar. Old style, they would give sugar. They give sugar, like, especially mystery. And he's taking, gradually his liver's getting better, and he's getting healthy. Then, when he first tastes it, sugar cane, it's, or what do you call it, mystery, rock candy. It's not tasting good. Why not tasting good? Because he has rogue, rid rogam, kamam. So then he takes it after some time. It's very sweet, very nice. So the holy name is like bitter in the beginning, Prabhupada. So same way, the holy name is bitter in the beginning and sweet in the end. Material life in the Gita says is sweet in the beginning and bitter in the end. So chanting Hare Krishna is bitter in the beginning, sweet in the end. And bhakti and sharanagati and surrender is bitter in the beginning and sweet in the end. I have anubhav from Nam. And anubhav means experience. Anubhav. And I, by the mercy of Nam, Nam Kripa, Guru Kripa, Vaishnav Kripa, Dham Kripa, Radharani Kripa, Giriraj Kripa, and whatever, just only by mercy, by their hoitiki kripa of them, of all these entities and personalities. In this lifetime, after some years of chanting, 40 years of chanting Hare Krishna, I can honestly say without, you know, self-glorification, that I have ruchi for Krishna's name. I'm experiencing it. What do you think?
She says that for sure you have.
It's by Krishna's mercy, you know. In other words, I'm saying that. Why am I saying that? Not to, you know, glorify this useless, you know, bag of, you know, sinful wretchedness called me. But I'm trying to encourage you about the validity and the validity, power, and the realism of the process of bhakti. It's real. It works. And you are born a Brahmin. You're Indian Brahmin. Both Sobhagya Janam, Mangal Janam. High birth, good intelligence, good family, beautiful body, everything. So much with you. So much bhagya. Sobhagya. So you have to chant. Aparat, you have to be careful, no aparats. Biggest problem, why no taste? Because aparat. Only aparat. You go to Ramesh Baba, you go to Anantadas Babaji, you go to any Babaji, any sannyasi, any Goswami, you say, why is someone is not getting ruchi and bhakti, bhajan or non-bhajan or bhakti in general? It's because of one thing and one thing only, aparat. There's no other simple answer. So then, well, how do we avoid aparat? That's the next thing.
My question is, Maharaj, aparat, I understand I'm doing. I know everything.
So basically, you should keep chanting and ruchi will come. That's what I'm trying to say to you. I'm saying that. You're saying I'm chanting. Well, how many years you're chanting? You're not even 40. You can't say you're chanting 40 years. In this life and last life, so much, of course, you've done. You have such a high birth. So just be patient. Nishchayat darayam. It's also, you have to be patient. We are patients. We are patients, so we have to be patient. We're in the hospital. Prabhupada said we're in the hospital. We all have disease. That's so. Same thing is said in Bhagavatam, Dasma Skanda, 10th canto, chapter 33, verse 39, Vakriditam Brajabudhu Bhira. It says that this Ridrogam, Kamam Ridrogam, this is Sukadeva Goswami is telling Parikshit, he said, this disease, this Kamam Ridrogam, this calm, this lust, this calm means desire, really. The word calm means desire. So just material desire is a disease. It says, Kamam Ridrogam. Ridrogam is the disease of the heart. Heart means chitta, heart means mind. Chitta means mind and heart. So it's a rogue, it's a vyadi, it's a disease. Desire, material desire is a disease. But this katha, this Hari Katamritam, this Ras Lila katha, this Madhurya Katamritam of Radha and Krishna's Leelas, this is the Oshadi, this is the Dawa, this is the medicine. He's, after the whole thing is ended, he says, you take this medicine, you read this, and you'll get free from the disease of desire. Free from the disease of desire. By reading Ras Lila and chanting Hare Krishna. So this is, he says it's a disease. So we are patients. We are patients in the hospital and we have a disease of lust. So we have to be patient, patience. You understand? And then gradually, purification.
Maharaj, knowingly we can do so much aparad, but unknowingly, which kind of aparad we can do? Unknowingly.
Unknowingly or knowingly? Knowingly, unknowingly. Just like Rupa Goswami Pad, there's a story of the Charitra of Sri Rupa Goswami Pad. He was sitting in Sevakunj in his kutia 500 years ago. And he was chanting Naam, Manasik Naam. His eyes were closed, he was meditating. And doing seva in his siddha sarup as Rupa Manjari, Sri Rupa Manjari in his spiritual siddha sarup, gopi form. And there was a very, very funny scene that he was seeing in his spurti, in his inner vision. And he's sitting under the tree and he's chanting, meditating on Leela, seeing this funny scene. What was that scene? That scene was that Radharani was picking a flower from the tree, and from Kadamba tree. Krishna likes Kadamba flowers too much. He likes. So Radharani wanted to make, but it's too much high in the branches. Oh, this nice flower there. Oh, I can't reach. So she's stretching up to reach. And Krishna heard from one parrot that Radharani, one tota, one parrot told Krishna, "Hey, Krishna, your Swamini, your Radha, your Priyaji, she's in the van and she's by Jamuna Ke Pass. She's picking the Kadamba fool. Kadamba fool." Said, and then Krishna said, "Kyo?" He said, "Mala banaya. Afka mala banaya." The parrot told him, "She's making a mala for you." "Acha? Well, let me see." So Krishna ran there. And secretly, because he's very secret, you know, he can be like Gupta. So he snuck and went up the tree, and then he went out on that branch. And if Krishna just moves his big toe, the whole universe will collapse. Krishna's so powerful. So he just went there, and he just, okay, pressed a little bit, and the tree was feeling ecstatic. The tree was in ecstasy. Oh, Krishna's climbed me. There's so many Kadamba trees. There's a van, Kadamba van. And Krishna's climbing me with his beautiful lotus feet, are touching my body. Now he's stepping on my, he's just touching my branch, and I know his thoughts. I'm his devotee. So as soon as Krishna thought, oh, this branch should go down, the branch should, yes. And humbly the branch bowed down under the feet of Krishna. If Krishna comes and puts his feet on your head, how much bliss you'll feel. If Krishna comes and puts his feet on your head, you'll feel blissful. You'll melt in ecstasy. You'll bow down and you'll be unconscious. You'll swoon in divine bliss. It's told in Madhurya Kadambini, the eighth shower, Astama Varsh. It's explained what happens to the Premi Bhakta, different sportis and experiences with Krishna. So the branch bent down and Radharani caught the flower, and then she was holding, and then Krishna let go of the branch and then went up in the air, and Radharani's holding the flower and the branch, she's holding the flower and the branch, Sakhi, 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 Bachao, Bachao, save me, Bachao, Bachao. And Rupa Goswami is seeing this Leela in his sporty, in his mind, in his meditation. He started laughing. And exactly at that time, Rupa Goswami is smiling and laughing. One Baba came, some Saru Baba nearby, and he was having a Vaishnava Bandara. He was feeding many Vaishnavas. So he came to invite Rupa Goswami Pad, please you come to my Bandara. So when he came there, he paid pranams, you know, to Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami, and this particular Saru Baba that came to give Nirmantran to, you know, invitation, he was bad leg, so he was on a stick. He was lame, some deformity. So when he got up from pranams, he saw, oh, this Rupa Goswami is laughing at me. He listens, he's what kind of Vaishnava? He's laughing at me because I have this deformity, this lame bad leg. And he left. He was very angry. He felt very offended. So Rupa Goswami, he was later meditating, then he had difficulty meditating. So he went to Sanatan Goswami. He said, oh, Barabai, oh, Sanatan, Dadu, my meditation is some difficulty coming. I can't, my mind is some weak shape, some distraction. I can't fix my mind on Radha Krishna's leelas and my seva therein. How is that? How is it possible? Sanatana Goswami, he is a Trikalagya. He's a yogi, he's a devotee. He said, oh, I think you have offended, unknowingly you offended some devotee. You don't even know, but you've offended. And he said, which devotee I offended? He said, I don't know. Sanatan Goswami, he said, I don't know. You know this story? But he said, I can give you idea. Let's find out. We should hold a Vaishnava Bandara. We should feed many Vaishnavas. And we'll invite many Saru Babas to come and take the Damodarji's Mahaprasad and Seva Kunch. And that one Baba that doesn't come for the food, we know that that's the one you have offended, unknowingly. So then the invitations went out, and everybody came except that one Baba. The lame Baba didn't come for the food. So then Sanatana Goswami, it's this Baba. So Rupa Goswami went and fell at his feet and paid obeisance and says, please forgive me. So what does this story tell you? Tell us. This story tells us some different points. One point it tells us is that there's something called unknowing, agyata. Agyata aparad. Agyata. Agyata. Unknowingly making offense. Another point it shows is that the care and softness of the heart of the Vaishnava. That's second point. And another point, it shows that Krishna makes arrangements for the sincere devotee to reveal to him whom he has unknowingly offended. Like we say, it's unknown, it's agyata. I don't know who I offended. Krishna will, if you have, you're doing bhajan and you feel, if some disturb, the proof that avaparad is there is the flow of bhakti gets squeezed. Like you have a hose, you say pipe, we say hose. You have a rubber pipe, it's connected to a tap, water's coming, you're watering the garden. Bagicha, pani daldo. But then you bend the pipe, and then what happens to the water?
Supply will cut.
Cut. No water coming. So bhakti is like a dhara. That's called dhara. It means it's a stream. It's a flow. When bhakti comes in the heart by kripa of Guru or Krishna, then the mercy flows, the love flows, the connection flows. But you make apurad, then you bend. So then you'll feel. Then when you feel that there's some apurad, but you don't know, that's when you know you made unknowing apurad. But if you feel that the bhakti is flowing and my connection is going nice with Krishna, because you see the story is telling that. He's a param bhakta, he's a siddha mahatma, Rupa Goswami. But his bhakti flow, his dhara was broken. He could not enter that seva of meditating and serving in lila. He was not given access to the lila because there was a break in his bhakti. When bhakti breaks, then you get separated from Krishna. You get separated from Radha. So that if you're feeling separated from Krishna, if you're feeling separated from Radha, if you're feeling separated from Guru, then maybe some aparad. And if you feel that way, then you say, Krishna, I thought I've been a good boy and a good girl, and I have this list here of 10 offenses. I don't think I made any. And then, now Jiva Goswami explains that someone may be suffering not only from the reactions, the aparad fall, the fruit of aparads in this life, he may be, because Jiva Goswami asks a question, Sundarbha, how is it if someone is consciously not making any aparads? He's aware of it, he's conscious. And he's not unconsciously making any aparads that he knows of. But still a devotee, the initiated devotee, is suffering in this life. And he said the other possibility is that he's suffering from prarabdha aparad, aparads from his last life. So it gets really complicated. This razor's edge path of bhakti is not easy. The more you know, the more complex it gets. Or the more you want to know, the more complex it gets. So this adds even more, more calculation into the computation, more factors to calculate. I'm doing really good. Oh, now I'm really in bad shape. Maybe it's not, you didn't do anything in this life to generate that reaction, but it's a reaction from last life, which has to come, and you have to experience that separation from Krishna, or that setback, or that suffering, or that disturbed mind, or that ashanti, man, because without removing that, you can't go to Krishna.
It is like, interlinked. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, aparadha shunya hai lo Krishna naam. Aparadha will be zero if you take Krishna's name. But how we can take Krishna's name? Aparadha is already not letting us take Krishna's
name. Yeah, it's
interlinked.
Catch 22. Paradox. You can't get one without the other, and you can't get the first one without the second one.
Aparadha shunya hai lo Krishna naam. How to take Krishna's name? I'm aparadhi. Aparadha will not allow me to take Krishna's name.
Well, the guru, that's why we have guru. That's why if one takes the nam alone, then he doesn't have that blessing of Guru. When he takes the nam from Guru and makes connection with Guru by Sharanagati, then he gets kripa, what's called some unbelievable quality called Guru Kripa. And Guru Kripa works miracles. It's magical. It's transcendental. It turns fools into poets, blind men into visionaries. Layman in the track stars. Mukam karoti vachalam pangam langayate garam yat kripatam avhan vande shri gurun dinataranam paramananda maravam.
What is the meaning of Paramananda Madhava?
That's tagged in there sometimes. Paramananda Madhava means Krishna is the husband of the goddess of fortune. Madhava means Lakshmi. Dava means Lakshmi.
Because the shloka is complete.
He's the husband of... You know, they add that on sometimes. Just to,
putting Krishna in like...
Yeah, because Guru and Krishna are one. You can't separate. Because by the mercy of Krishna you can speak. By the mercy of Guru you can speak about Krishna. By Krishna's mercy you can speak. By Guru's mercy you can speak about Krishna. By Krishna's mercy you can see. By Guru's mercy you can see Krishna. By Krishna's mercy you can walk. By Guru's mercy you can walk across the... You can step on a head of death and go to Vaikuntha. So there's both giving mercy. So that's why we include both of them. Sri Krishna, Sri Guru Dinataranam Paramananda Madhavam. I do that. The verse ends, as you said, like that. That's my tika. My bhav. It's a bhav vichar. Because I don't see difference between Guru and Krishna. Acharya mam vijaniyan navamanyata karichit. Sarvadeva maya guru. Never think the guru is material. He's all the devatas and more. He's me. He's all the devatas. Okay, he's everybody. Anybody who's big in the material world, the guru is that also. Because Sarvadevata means the big operators. Indra, Varuna, Chandra, Surya. These are the big operators in the material world. Sarvadeva maya guru. They're there. But what's more, he's me. Acharya mam.
Bhagavad Gita?
11th canto of Bhagavatam. Urva Gita. Often quoted. Acharya mam. This is our great Brijvasi Acharya, the Jagat Guru, the famous Rasik Vaishnav, the Kripalu Maharaj. When he would begin in the morning time, when he was staying in Vrindavan years ago, back in 1990s, he had this ashram in Ramanareti. Later he built a big place in Barsana. But my place where I was staying in Patak Bagicha, I stayed 5 years there, in Temple Garden, which is right at the end of that street. The street goes by Narayan Seth's house. He's a big real estate agent on the right-hand side. real estate agent, Vrishvasi. And his house, his bungalow is there. And then the street goes straight, zhup, right into the garden. And if you turn left, it goes to Iskan Goshala. Right, it goes to Yamuna or whatever, like this. So there's some back road there, you know. So his ashram was there, a big black building. It's still there. So he would come there in the morning over the PA system. I would be in my room, and I hear him begin his class, you know, 6 o'clock, when he was staying there sometimes with devotees. A very deep voice, yes, you know. Acharya mam, yeah, it's Brahmin, UP Brahmin. Acharya mam vijaniyam. I love it. He would start every lecture, he would start this verse. That he listen, everybody, just to remind you. Acharya, I am God. Acharya mam vijaniyam. You should remember that I am the Acharya and I am non different from Krishna. So they worshipped him like that, and he was certainly a very empowered and wonderful Acharya of the Radha Krishna Bhakti. And he left. You can judge a man by what he says and judge a man by what he does. So especially after he's gone, he's left this wonderful mandir, Prem Mandir. It's a wonderful testimony of the essence of Siddhanta, Tattva, and Dham. Dham Vas. Amazing. Quite a visionary person, I would say. Every single mandir is called Radha Krishna, Radha Govinda. Historic first. He installs Radha and Krishna and says this mandir is Prem. And the mandir, the whole entire mandir is dedicated to Radharani because she's Prem Sarup Radharani, Mahabhav. She's the epitome of Prem. So the whole mandir is called Prem, which means actually it's like Mahabharat when Yudhisthira was supposed to say Ashwatthama was dead. Ashwatthama is a ferocious kshatriya on the side of the Kauravas, indefeatable. Son of Dronacharya, I believe so, if I remember rightly. Ashwatthama. He's a Brahmin also. So then he could not be killed. He was the son of the guru, Dhanurveda guru, Dronacharya, the teacher of Arjuna. So the only way to kill him is to, kill someone, Karna, I forget, I get confused. But they had to say Ashwatthama, the elephant, is dead, because there's some elephant named Ashwatthama. Then the fighters got disheartened, and then Arjuna was successful. So then I'm thinking of that, and this mandir is called Prem Mandir. It should actually be called Radha Prem Mandir, because the whole theme, the whole purpose of that mandir is to establish that Vrindavan means Radharani, and Radharani means Prem, pure love for Krishna. And this mandir, mandir is a shrine. It's a shrine. It's a temple. It's a mandir. It's a shrine to the essence of Vrindavan, which is Prem, and the personification of Prem, who is the essence, the essential personality of Vrindavan, is Sri Radha. And Krishna is her servant, and he serves her feet, and he stands next to her to worship her. And when you come in, the gate, then you have to go around this way to enter the east-facing entrance, because the temple is facing south, Dakshin. I went there once, and I observed everything very minutely, as much as I could on one visit in daytime. And so then, the entrance is like that. But if you go inside, then step off the main channel they want everyone to go in and do parikrama outside the mandir, then you'll see that that south entrance where you come from the Chatikar Road, that south Dakshin Mukh entrance, but the temple Mukh is east. Thakurji is looking east. Sita Ram and Radha Krishna. So if you go straight south without going around, there's a dioramas on the parikrama, and on that diorama is Radharani. She's on a throne, big throne, singhasan. And there's so many sakis carved in the pillars with chamaras or fanning her. And there's one, and all ladies, all around ladies doing her service, Krishna, different waiting with trays and all waiting. Radharani, they're all serving Radharani. All the Sevadasis of Radharani, Lalita Vishaka, and Radharani's there, looking at everyone's coming in the gate. Radharani's looking at everyone. Prem Mandir. She's looking out towards the street, seeing everyone. And then there's one gentleman on the left-hand side of Radharani, behind her singhasan. He's blue in color, and he's wearing yellow dhoti. And he's just standing there with his hand as if he's Radharani's bodyguard. He's her chokidar. This is the message of the temple. Now you could do the production, the mandir production. You go around the outside of the perimeter and you'll see other dioramas. And on the opposite side facing north, which is Nandagaon and Barsana, Radharani there, she's also sitting on a singhasan. And on her feet, one foot is on her, like crossed like this on singhasan, and one foot is down on a small stool, just like Niti Lila. A footstool, I call it a footstool. And all sakis round fanning doing seva. And Radharani is completely shanti, blissful. And there's one boy at her feet. One boy crouched down on the ground, like Hanuman, kneeling at Radharani's feet and pressing her feet. And that boy is blue in color. He's wearing yellow dhoti.
Similar to that blue boy.
It's similar to that blue boy on the south side. So what's he doing? He's serving the feet of Radharani. So that message is that Vrindavan, come to Vrindavan means this is a place where everyone learns, including Krishna, to serve the feet of Radharani. And Radharani, the goal of life is prema, and we're advertising that in this temple. This is a temple dedicated to prema. Automatically the worship of Radha and Krishna going on, and Artik and Bhajan and Kirtan and all these things, and Sitaram. Puja, everything's going on like a regular temple. But the founder of this temple, this Jagadguru Sri Nityadamaka Kripalu Maharaj, he wanted to say that, listen, there's a message. I want to give a message to my temple. Everywhere, Radha Krishna, this is Prem. Why am I calling this Prem Mandir? We have to think about that. So I thought about that. And I wrote 5-6 pages about this in my diary. I very much appreciate this. I don't know much about this individual. I just heard from different Indians that he was a great preacher, and he was, you know, he had Saraswati Darshan. I know because the people I live with, they gave him the land he's living on, that he had this temple in Vrindavan, Pataks, and they said he did many Purush Charan Bratas to get Saraswati Darshan. So he would lecture, of course, in Hindi. And they say his lectures are phenomenal, all Shastras. Have you ever heard in Hindi?
I have seen that he has given Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is non-different from Srila Prabhupada Chaitanya Charitamrita. Even word to word is same. Like, so devotees say that he has copied.
Oh, that's some other thing, the book. But I mean his lectures verbal lectures.
Very famous in India.
Yeah, yeah. So he had the Sarasvag city. So very great personality. And wrote a whole book of poems. Whatever that may be, some publicity or propaganda, whatever, you know, you have one and we have one, whatever, our guru, your guru. But the real essence of his contribution is Prem Mandir and his Rasiya Kirtan book. He's written so many poems, which are songs that he would sing himself in Brajbhasha and Hindi, glorifying Radha and Krishna. And that's the heart of the person, the heart of the devotee, and bhajan. So, this is a nice thing, prema. So I thought, wow, this is it. He's got it. He really scored a home run here, because anyone has a brain can think, why is it called Prem Mandir? Then there's so many things, and then you see where the emphasis is, you know. It's all gopis all around the temple outside and the outside wall, and Radharani, Prem Mandir, beautiful. That's living in Vrindavan and worshipping Radha Krishna. The goal is prema, prema pamartha mahan, panchama purushartha. There's five dharma, there's chatur purushart, dharmart kamoksh. But Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, came to this world, said, no. Everybody, all Veda, Puran, Shruti, Smriti talks about Chatur Purusharta. I have come to talk about Panchama Purusharta. Four goals of human life: religion, sense gratification, religion, money, sense gratification, freedom, liberation, detachment, Dharmart Kamoksh. But I have come to give Prem. Radha Prem.